Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
And now please, let's take up tab 58, which is Board of Trustees, University of West Florida, Ms. Rebecca Matthews.
There's been some concern from local county that there aren't enough people who actually live in the area who are on the board. With the openings due to resignations, is there a role that you can play as chair of the board to help recruit, or I guess it's not up to you guys to nominate, but speak to the governor or whomever is appointing and try to get local people to make sure you're understanding the local community's concerns.
Yes, I think we can. We can make suggestions. Absolutely. I've even asked a lot of the groups that I met with to share names with me, share bios of folks that they think would be good candidates for some of the roles that would, or actually the two that are open now and maybe ones that will open into the future. That there, you know, there's nothing prohibiting me to share recommendations, which I would obviously be happy to do.
This is Rebecca Matthews, one of the candidates to be, well, I mean, she's going to get confirmed. She got confirmed in the first committee. She got confirmed in the yesterday's committee unanimously. She is going to be, actually, she is already sitting as, I think she's the one sitting as the chair of the board now that Scott Yenner is out, and she was one of the candidates that was being heard yesterday in the Ethics and Elections Committee. And as you heard there, Tina Scott-Polsky, Democrat on the committee, who is asking the question, the locals are concerned to make sure that with the vacancies, you know, we maybe get local people on there instead of people like you. she said, yeah, no, we can do that. Don Gates chimes in with a question for her.
I have one question.
Sure.
It's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but in your meetings with students and faculty and members of the community, people on the campus, have you come upon any evidence of a woke culture at the University of West Florida? And if so, in your 4 months as a trustee, have you done anything about it?
I'm not sure I understand why that's a tongue-in-cheek question, although unless he's jabbing at the governor and also some of the laws, I think, that have been passed by the legislature in the past. It's, again, I'm not quite sure why that's tongue-in-cheek, because that does seem to be part of the mission, is to root out those things.
Thank you for the question. And it is kind of tongue-in-cheek. No, not in the – I'll talk to the meetings with the students. They've all been very mature, had wonderful questions, but again, from diverse backgrounds and areas of study. So we really focused on that, safety, what they were doing in the future, where they're interning. They're all interning somewhere, which I thought was fantastic. With any of the staff from the school, President Saunders, her cabinet, I have not felt that.
So the follow-up.
And so, Ms. Matthews, I don't mean to at all put words in your mouth, but
sure.
Are you saying that in your 4 months as a trustee and in your many meetings that you've described with people on campus, you have not found evidence yet of a woke culture, either predominant or latent in the university?
I have not felt that predominant, no, but I would say just let us complete our review and we'll see if there's anything still underlying within the curriculum is really what my kind of look would be, and that's vast. So we need to, I think, conduct that review and can report back certainly or share any information from that with you.
I actually like this answer because she says our goal is to find it if it's in the curriculum and any of the teaching. That's really the main issue, and I haven't completed that review just yet. Again, I don't know why it's tongue-in-cheek, but I would say, as I've said before, UWF is a very, very good school. It is on the more... I don't want to say this. It's left of center, but almost every university is, okay? And the campus culture, if you look around, I mean, like, there's trans banners in the, you know, the atrium kind of thing. Like, that's there. It is not a sort of conservative place, but it's not that liberal either. Like, it's compared to a lot of schools. You know, the spectrum here is all to the left, and they are not as left as some. And I've said this before. And looking through the curriculum and the coursework, there are some things that you kind of like, whoa. But not a lot. you know, it's not overwhelming. So when the governor says it's this, you know, broken, woken university or whatever, it's just not. So I thought the question was interesting. You know, I think of like the Black Lives Matter kind of mural that's up in the upper part of the library. Like, there are things. And if you're looking, you'll find it. But it's not overwhelming. So they confirm Rebecca Matthews, no big deal. Now, there was a very – and they confirm Rachel Moya, no big deal. And they confirm Chris Young. And they confirmed, you know, basically all of the people other than Adam Kissel, who they said no to on a 4-5 vote. And, of course, you know, the funny story or the sort of interesting story about Joel Rudman bowed out. He wasn't there, didn't show up. You know, Don Gates gave him a scolding over not being there and not showing up with the evidence of his claims about some people being drug users. But that's a story for a different hour. But there was a very interesting interaction between Tina Scott-Polsky and Ashley Rose. And I don't know why some of these candidates got grilled and some did not. They were all susceptible to it. I'm not quite sure why they picked some or not. But we'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just dealing with one accident right now. Let's see here. It's on Lillian Highway and Trout Road. It's a one-car accident versus a telephone pole. And so to use caution in the area on that. I-10 still seeing some slowdowns. If you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you'll see some delays there. Also experiencing just minor delays on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Park. This traffic report is brought to you by Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, carrying a full line of meats, fine wines, and cheeses. Corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Now, somebody texts in and asks the question, how do you resign from a board that you're not even yet approved or confirmed to be on? And the answer is because they were already serving. Though it's a weird system. The governor names you and you're on, and then the Senate comes back and does this confirmation process, and even if they say no, the governor can still keep you on there for a year. It's a crazy system. That definitely needs to be reformed. It's an odd system for sure. Anyway, yesterday, again, the comments or interaction that was, I thought, kind of interesting with Rachel Moya, who is another one of the candidates, I think a Board of Governors appointee, because there were three from the Board of Governors. There were five from the governor. Two of those have dropped out, and one got denied, so he's got two left. And I think Rachel Moya was one of the two from, not from him, though, from the Board of Governors. Anyway, Don Gates starts the line of questioning, but then it quickly pivots over to Tina Scott-Polsky. Oh, no, excuse me. I apologize. It wasn't Rachel Moya. It was actually Ashley Ross. My mistake. Anyway, Ashley Ross and Tina Scott-Polsky kind of got into it a little bit. It was an interesting line of questions because she was asking about the governor's visit and what he had to say about UWF.
You mentioned something in one of your answers about you don't want indoctrination. What did you mean by that?
I mean, again, I just focus on education and making sure that it's strictly, you know, not based on any political thought or ideology, but more by the book and just keeping it pretty straightforward. I think that that is something that UWF is already doing a great job of, and I just want to make sure that we're continuing that and not sliding backwards.
Senator Polsky.
Thank you. So do you disagree with the comment by the governor where he said in an article, it says he renewed his attacks on the University of West Florida, calling it an indoctrination camp with Marxist professors? Do you believe that to be the case?
I'm not here to ever disagree with the governor. I personally have only been a trustee for about 3 months. And so based on the one full board meeting that I've had and the one committee that we had by Zoom, I have not had the opportunity to see that for myself. But I know the governor has been in office for a lot longer and must have seen something else that I haven't had the chance to see yet.
Sarah Polsky.
Thank you. What does that mean, a Marxist professor?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the governor.
Now, on the one hand, it's really not. I love the little dismissive at the end. I know that's a frustrating answer. This is why they're going to continue this interaction. But the right way to frame this is everybody perceives you folks as being put on this board in order to accomplish the governor's purpose in this semi-hostile takeover. That's why these questions are relevant. Convince me that's not the case. Because if you can't convince me that's not the case, I'm not going to vote for you. But they never quite get to the nub, you know, the heart of that objection. Instead, they're kind of playing around at the edge a little bit here.
But in your role on the board, you're the ones who are closest to it. I mean, he's obviously making massive, you know, political campaign type slogans all the time, but you're the ones who are there dealing with the faculty. So you're not comfortable separating yourself from any of his statements that are particularly incendiary like that?
Ms. Ross.
Thank you. I'm a huge supporter of the governor, and I'm honored to be appointed by the Board of Governors. What I'm here to answer today is my role as a trustee in the university and what I feel the role of a trustee is and what I can bring to the table. So I'm not really sure how your question is related to my ability to serve as a trustee.
It is because you're one of his people. I mean, it's the Board of Governors that put you up, but you're part of this wave. And we want to know how you do or do not align with the governor. I mean, it's a little worrisome that you would say you're not here to disagree with anything the governor says. I mean, that's one of the concerns. But again, they go on, and this is a little bit longer clip. I want you to hear these last two clips because it gives you really good context of, again, some of the questions for some of the candidates were pretty thorough, and I appreciated that. But then in the end, they just wind up approving them all. So I don't know what the point of having these questions was if they were just going to, you know, pencil whip it in the end.
Well, I think it's important because when the governor or the Board of Governors installs a brand new board, which basically has happened over the last few months, I don't know why there were so many vacancies all at once. But,
that's a great question.
You know, he has said he wants to take it over like he did New College. Mm-hmm. So the people who are on the board have to be willing to do that or have had conversations to be chosen to say, I am willing to do that kind of takeover and change the whole atmosphere of a school. Now, we all know New College is a very different kind of atmosphere than UWF. So my question to you is, what atmosphere do you believe UWF has, and are you part of this overhaul that the governor is looking to see?
Ms. Ross.
Thank you. My understanding is at one point the board was down to, I believe, about 5 of the 13 seats, so which is a huge disadvantage. It was a tremendous struggle for the 5 trustees that were there at the time having to serve. You know, typically you would only serve on one committee, a subcommittee at a time. Most of them were having to serve on at least 3 just to meet quota and the quorum, for meetings to be able to happen. So I think that the governor and the Board of Governors was doing UWF a huge favor by seating an entire board. And again, you know, my role or my understanding of what I'm here to do today is to answer the questions that you have about my ability to serve as a university trustee.
Oh, no. You do not get to say that the governor is doing us a big favor by filling the massive slate of vacancies that he has allowed to accumulate because he has not been good at filling vacancies across all the positions where there are vacancies in the state. No, I cannot accept that explanation. That does not fly for me. And then we switched gears. I thought Don Gates asked a really interesting question that he did not lean on. It did not lead to vote changes, but I thought this was a great question.
Any other questions? I have one.
Sure.
Ms. Ross, you are you're an FSU grad.
Yes, sir.
You're an FSU booster.
Yes.
In all of my observations of you, you have been in every way possible involved with FSU, and I commend you for that. What in the world drove you to apply to be on the Board of Trustees at the University of West Florida, way over there in the correct time zone?
The opportunity to serve the state.
So if you had been nominated for the University of South Florida, you would have had the same answer?
I think so.
Oh. All right.
I will mention that I do own a home in the Emerald Coast. So I have a tremendous, love for the entire panhandle. But, you know, the opportunity to serve in higher education is the core driver for me.
So that's a great question. It seems like you'd be a natural fit for the FSU board. Why UWF? Well, you know, it was available. Plus, I own a home in the Emerald Coast. Well, we don't call it that here. Several of the candidates who were from elsewhere did call it the Emerald Coast, which is the kind of thing that you say. We say the Gulf Coast. John, am I wrong about that? I haven't lived here as long as you have.
No, you're not wrong.
People here don't. It's not false. It's
right.
Just not what we say.
Correct.
Okay. So, yeah, I thought that was a great question. It seems like you're really a good fit for FSU. Why wouldn't that be the board you would try to be on? just like there are a lot of people here that would be good fit for UWF, and we're not put on this. So, again, it didn't lead to anything. They got all approved unanimously except for Adam Kissel, who got denied on a 5-4 vote. So I think they're all going to go through the Senate sailing. But it seemed like we might get close to some different votes, and we just didn't yesterday. So I don't know. I find myself sort of vaguely disappointed in the Senate. You know, they didn't follow through on the good questions. They didn't ask the best questions. And they kind of went for the wrong reasons on some of the candidates. And, you know, so, but it's, you know, it's out of my control now. 726, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident with the roadblock that happened on Lillian Highway and Trout Road. That is just east of the Lillian Bridge. We're starting to see some delays associated with that one. It was a one car versus a telephone pole. They're trying to get that out of the way. Also, if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 20-25 minute delay associated with that. And also 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile, expect about a 10-15 minute delay with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, somebody pointed out to me that she owns a home on 30A, which is where they do say Emerald Coast, which is right, but it's not here, right? Exactly. It's quite a ways away. Hey, if you're working on a home improvement project, a repair, anything like that, and you need supplies, or even better, if you need advice, because, you know, I had an old boss that always said, there's only two times I want you to ask me what I think, and that's when you're not sure what to do and when you are, which is always ask, you know, because if you ask experts like the folks at Pensacola Hardware, you know, they may tell you you're on exactly the right track. They may tell you, this is a different way to think about this, right? Because they want you to get the good result. Now, that's true whether you're just doing a home repair yourself or whether you build things for a living, and especially if that's you. They're your people, man. They speak your language. They've been working with construction, commercial construction supply for 170 years. Like, they've been doing this for a long time. They know. Go in and talk to them. You know, ask them, well, Andrew always raves about you. What can you tell me that will make me believe you're my people? Ask for Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield, and they will talk to you and, you know, explain to you what they can do for you. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Learning how to deal with criticism is a major part of life for every person. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, helped shed some light on dealing with critics when he said the following, and I quote, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Ladies and gentlemen, critics come and go, but I encourage you to continue to dare greatly.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Good morning, 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is a headline or two for us in the newsroom. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump says undocumented immigrants should be deported without trials. He was speaking to reporters in the Oval Office Tuesday and said countries like Venezuela and the Congo had emptied their prisons into the United States, and that giving them trials would slow down the deportation process. Also now, the measles cases, 600 confirmed.
I'm CJ Pop with the public viewing for Pope Francis underway.
The procession today included cardinals, priests, and members of the Swiss Guard walking the casket from the chapel of Casa Santa Marta, his residence, to St. Peter's.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Vatican City, Catholics standing shoulder to shoulder, slowly shuffling past the casket, some traveling from thousands of miles away.
And we were meant to have an audience with him today, and we will do, but not in the way that we expected.
A funeral Saturday. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says his nation has repeatedly said it does not rule out any format of talks that can lead to a ceasefire with Russia. Wildfires burning in southern New Jersey, growing to 8,500 acres.
We've got the wind. We've got really dry conditions.
Now, Fox meteorologist Adam Klotz, it's only 10% contained. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's News Radio 92.3 at 7:31 and 70 degrees with cloudy skies right now. We'll have your weather forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a few moments. A proposal to protect Florida state parks from golf courses and luxury resorts has advanced in the legislature. The Senate Fiscal Policy Committee approved SB 80 yesterday. Now, this comes after that public outcry last year against the state's Great Outdoors Initiative, which aimed to introduce golf courses, resort-style lodges, and pickleball courts in state parks. The House already passed its version of that bill. Both chambers would have to reconcile their proposals by May 2nd. Florida's suing Snapchat's parent company, Snap Incorporated, for alleging violations of the law designed to prevent kids under 16 from using social media. Attorney General James Utmeyer yesterday, he says the platforms are dangerous and they allow predators to target kids.
We were tracking a registered sex offender who for months was online pretending to be other people, seducing young people into sending photographs. House Bill 3 added protections where young teenagers and kids are not allowed to have access to these social media applications.
Utmeyer says predators use Snapchat because the messages quickly disappear after they're sent. The state's lawsuit says Snapchat's allowing underage users to create accounts without getting parental consent. Also, coming out of that particular press conference yesterday, James Utmeyer addressing the Hope Florida controversy. He defended that $10 million Medicaid settlement that some, including our District 2 State Representative Alex Andrade, have criticized and said is inappropriate. Utmeyer said he was not involved in the negotiations, and he claims all of the actions were legal, despite funds being directed to his political action committee. Utmeyer says he is prepared to provide records for any investigation and says so far he has not received a subpoena. Further developments in that are anticipated at tomorrow's healthcare budget subcommittee meeting in Tallahassee. Well, if you're headed to the beach, check out that sailfish sign. It's been updated now to reflect the new Gulf of America name. The sign now says drive east along the Gulf of America, and America is patriotically printed in red, white, and blue on the sign. The changes were made in accordance with the executive order from President Trump changing the Gulf's name earlier this year. Florida State University students yesterday were at the state capitol. They were demanding stricter gun laws. This now just days after that shooting that left two people dead on the FSU campus. Natanael Mizrahi from Sarasota says he was in class right across from the student union when it all happened.
We had a giant window in the back of our class, which limited our space. So it left this more than 50 people to pack like sardines on top of each other and under each other, heads down, scared for our lives.
And Mizrahi says he believes all universities should have locks on their doors and train their professors in how to respond to gun violence. Of course, the House recently overturning the measure that would have reduced the gun buying age from 21 to 18. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still dealing with that accident that happened on Lillian Highway and Trout Road. Still seeing some delays in the eastbound It is east of Lillian Bridge. We've got one car accident versus a telephone pole starting to cause some major delays. Also, if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and through Highway 29, you're going to see maybe a 20-25 minute delay through that construction slash congestion zone right there. But other than that, we are rolling, looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
There will be a small chance of rain this afternoon, most of us staying nice and cloudy. Highs today reaching the upper 70s to low 80s. Overnight tonight staying into the upper 60s. Heading into your Thursday, we are going to be looking at some nice weather with a little more sunshine in the afternoon. Temperatures warming up near the upper 70s and low 80s again. Overnight on Thursday, temperatures dropping back near 69. Going into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees and low Friday night near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, now we've got 70 degrees on the dot across the area. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. SAP shares popped 9.3% after it posted a 58% year-over-year jump in first quarter operating profit, also confirming its outlook for full-year cloud revenues. The German software giant said revenue had also jumped 11%. Tesla has reported a miss on the top and bottom lines in its first quarter earnings report as automotive revenue plunged 20% from a year earlier. Total revenue slid 9% from a year earlier. The company pointed to lower average selling prices and sales incentives as a drag on revenue and profit. A growing number of travelers are using Buy Now, Pay Later services to pay for flights, hotels, and cruises in installments, in some cases with no interest or late fees. Gen Z and millennials are far more likely to use Buy Now, Pay Later plans to pay to travel, especially trips involving live events. Futures are sharply higher after President Trump said he will not fire Fed Chair Jerome Powell. On Tuesday, the Dow gained 10.16. That's Your Money Now.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s. And less than 200 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity. Call 1-800-973-9819. And you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-973-9819. Call now, and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order. Call 1-800-973-9819 now to secure your $10 Gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-800-973-9819.
Ready to get out of the cycle of renting but think home ownership is too far out of reach? Pensacola Habitat for Humanity's Community Land Trust makes it more affordable than ever. Here's how it works. You own the home but not the land, lowering your mortgage and monthly payments, making home ownership attainable for more people. And the best part? You still build equity and generational wealth. Learn more. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and take the first step toward owning your own home.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I was not involved in the settlement negotiations related to the Hope Florida contribution. In looking at it, everything looks legal. The attorneys, they looked at this, they negotiated it. I assume both the state and Centene had, you know, attorneys that were involved. Obviously, there's this representative that's on this tirade. He seems to be somebody doing the bidding of Big Marijuana. I wasn't part of securing the deal that was struck. My understanding is that there was a sweetener in there that the, you know, Centene's estimated harms to the state was $56-57 million, and that there was a sweetener put in there because the state was acting in good faith.
It's just this, you know, random dude who's the chair of one of the most important subcommittees and appropriations in the state. He's just doing the bidding of Big Marijuana. This is James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, who I do not know. I've never had the pleasure of meeting. Used to be the chief of staff for Governor DeSantis. He is at the center of the controversy surrounding the $10 million side payment from Centene. Instead of going back to the state through ACA, it goes to these, goes to Hope Florida Foundation, an entity that had only fundraised $2 million outside of this $10 million, which then got split up into two $5 million chunks that went to entities that then funneled it into the PAC that was overseen by Uthmeyer that was fighting Amendment 3 on marijuana, which looks an awful lot like, what Alex Andrade called it on our show on Friday was money laundering and wire fraud. You know, so it doesn't look good. It seems to have gone outside or around the law in a couple of different ways. Now, he is the attorney general, and you would generally think, well, surely he would know the law. But of course, the problem is, how's the attorney general going to investigate himself? And especially because he's saying, basically, there's no issue here. There were a lot of lawyers involved. The line that had been used by one of the other ladies, this is fine. Everything's fine. There's just, you know, absolutely nothing to see here.
Excuse me. All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here, please.
It did remind me a bit of Leslie Nielsen in front of the exploding whatever it was with the fireworks going off behind him. Nah, this is fine. Everything is good. There's no, you know, no event. There's no news. There's just some, you know, marijuana lackey coming after me. That's all this is. I couldn't decide whether I was more Leslie Nielsen or Bart Simpson.
Nobody saw me do it. You can't prove anything.
So I'm not sure which line of defense is exactly the most favorable at the moment, but neither of them is particularly good. In other news, the city of Milton. They sort of have their new attorney, not quite yet officially, but the attorney briefed them at their last, the meeting before the last, about how, you know, the lawsuit on the public records is almost over. That's almost settled because he's been working with the attorney for Mayor Heather Lindsay.
Just briefly, I know I emailed.
This is John Adams.
Council this week on an update on.
No relation.
What I have referred to as a public records litigation. We submitted the proposed order, joint motion and proposed order to the court last week. We had a very brief hearing yesterday, Monday, with the court. The court just had a few questions to make sure the court understood what we were asking and had a few suggestions.
So the reporting had been that the judge has agreed to the dismissal. The judge has ordered the public records, well, the disputed records, the ones that he said were public records that she disputed were public records, ordered them back into her care and, washed their hands entirely of it. But that's not quite entirely accurate because what we have is a filed lawsuit by Howard Steele, a political candidate and local, activist agitator I don't know, loudmouth. I don't think he'd mind me calling him that. He is. I think he happens to be right. So he's loud and right, which is different than being loud and wrong. But he has now filed suit too. Whoa. If these are public records, don't we all get them? Something I warned you was going to happen. Somebody's going to come in and file suit. They've already got all the evidence is done. All of the excavation is done. All of the records have been disclosed to the judge. He's already even ruled on which ones are public and which ones are not. Like, this is an easy slam dunk lawsuit to continue pursuing because the city was on the verge of winning it and getting their fees, both of which the new city council abandoned. Anyway, so it's not exactly done. So we'll see. And this, by the way, I think most likely outcome here is not only does Howard Steele win, the mayor has to provide the records. Probably the city is going to have to cough up some money in this process, too. So I do not think this is done at all. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Just got a tip on the text line that a car broke down by Nemours on Davis Highway, blocking the right lane. So just be aware of that. And also, I-10 eastbound, right around mile marker 7. Yes, the road is open, but we have a wreck with injuries. And that's what's causing the big major delay between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, I do have something coming up at 7:10, or at 8:10, sorry. We're going to talk to Darren Schaefer from Visit Pensacola about the bill that has been making the news in the last day or so about HB 1221. It's 7033. These are the bills that would kill TDT and TDC. I mean, really do devastating impact to these bills and our ability to fund tourism promotion and, of course, you know, advertise for the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico.
America.
I don't care what the sailfish sign says. Signs can lie. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. That'll be coming up. If you cannot be in the car at that time or cannot listen at work, you can always catch the podcast at newsradio923.com. Look at the podcast page. But anyway, I will be addressing that. I had somebody ask me, are you going to address this? Yeah. 8:10. We'll be on to it. Hey, if you have a company and you have to do benefits for your employees and you love it, I mean, great. If you're happy, you're thrilled, great. Ignore me for a minute. If, however, you either have questions about whether it can be better or you maybe want to save a buck or two, or you're like pulling your hair out trying to figure this stuff out and you hate having to deal with it and you want somebody to manage it for you, Torgerson Causey. This is what they do. They do, you know, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR. You know, they can manage your HR stuff, payroll, whatever the case may be. They're a comprehensive employee benefits agency for more than 2 decades helping businesses here in Pensacola, like ours. We started using them here at News Radio and Cat Country about 4 years ago. And they have been great ever since. They have saved us money. They have given us choices that were not available before. I mean, they're not miracle workers. They can't fabricate things from scratch in the current environment. Health insurance is just terrible. It just is. But they give us the best of what's available. And they answer our questions. And they help us understand what's going on. And they have been great at customer service. So they get my wife's 2 thumbs up. And she's an industrial engineer who asks a lot of hard questions. And usually gets disappointed in the answers, but she likes Torgerson Causey, and I do too. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Ready to get out of the cycle of renting but think home ownership is too far out of reach? Pensacola Habitat for Humanity's Community Land Trust makes it more affordable than ever. Here's how it works. You own the home but not the land, lowering your mortgage and monthly payments, making home ownership attainable for more people. And the best part? You still build equity and generational wealth. Learn more. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and take the first step toward owning your own home.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now?
The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Leverage is knowing if someone had all the money in the world. This is what they'd buy.
Whenever I play Bruce Springsteen, I always think about my boss, Mary Hoxson, because that is her favorite, very favorite of all time. And New York Knicks, of course, you know, Nick Zangari loves the boss. And speaking of Mary, I do want to give a shout out to her husband, my other boss, Dave Hoxson, who just yesterday got a huge award from the Florida Association of Broadcasters. Gave him the William J. Brooks Award, established in 1988 for legendary Florida broadcasters whose exceptional service and dedication set a standard of excellence in the industry. Presented annually, the award celebrates individuals who embody the high ideals exemplified by its namesake, William J. Brooks. Dave Hoxson and Mary, unlike any, I mean, if they hadn't done what they had done, had the persistence and dogged dedication of creating these radio stations, they wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have jobs. You know, I'd be talking about local politics in Toledo, Ohio, for goodness sakes. That was honestly the other place I was going. I was going to Toledo when they hired me to come here.
Toledo?
I really was. Yep.
Wow.
It's a long story for a different day. Anyway, but congratulations to Dave and of course, to Mary. But, you know, Dave is the one who won the award yesterday, and it's a really quite an honor. 7:52, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The artificial dyes used in many foods like Flamin' Hot Cheetos and other snacks are going away. The FDA announcing they're phasing out petroleum-based synthetic food dyes by the end of next year. That would be like Red Dye 40. RFK Jr. says they could be having effects all over the place, like obesity and even potentially affecting birth rates.
We have fertility rates that are just spiraling. A teenager today, an American teenager, has less testosterone than a 68-year-old man. Sperm counts are down 50%.
An American teenager has less testosterone than a 60-year-old man?
That's right, because the testosterone levels have dropped 50% from historic levels.
And that from an appearance on Fox News last night. He was talking with Waters there from Waters World. The changes will affect all sorts of items, sodas, cereals, Kellogg's, just all sorts of things that are using these dyes.
Well, I mean, if the Frosted Flakes look different, I'm not eating them anymore. That's what I got to say.
They've got to look the same,
they
got
to look
right?
The same. They're great. All right, David, thanks so much for the update, sir. John, you and I have had a rolling conversation about this Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico nonsense, and it has finally reached its local ultimate conclusion. The sailfish sign. We got reports yesterday, pictures. I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody, honestly, the first time I saw the picture online,
right?
I thought, is this from April 1st? Is this like a really good delay? That would have been a great
April 1st. That would have been an amazing one.
I can't believe none of us thought of it. Huh. That would have been an outstanding April Fool's Day joke. The sailfish sign has been changed. It no longer says Gulf of America. It now says Gulf of Mexico. For reals.
Wait, it says Gulf of America now.
What did I say?
I was like, wait a second.
Ashley Hoffberger, County Commissioner for District 4, which You know, I guess that's in her district. The sailfish sign sits on property that's actually in Gulf Breeze, owned by Escambia County. Escambia County owns Escambia County. It owns that little slice of land where the sailfish sign is, and then it owns the island. I know it's weird, but that's it's not a Gulf Breeze sign. It's an Escambia County sign. So she says it's a good thing.
So it is a landmark sign, and someone asked me today, well, it's been the exact same sign for over 50 years. Like, how do you feel about changing that? And I said, well, I didn't rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, and I want our signage in our community to be correct, and I want it to be accurate, and I think that's exactly what we did.
This was also something Mike Kohler pushed for. It's discretionary money, so they never had to vote on it. It's $2,600. West Mariner authorized the transaction. So not quite $3,000 to change that sign, which is a little bit pricey for my taste. Of course, I'm opposed to it anyway. Every time it makes me shake my head. Every time it is so stupid. Every time. And what's interesting is to read some of the comments on either, you know, our page or the PNJ or Channel 3 or wherever. Somebody says, it's funny how liberals hate the Gulf having its name changed, but had no issue with military bases and sports teams having their names changed. Run that logic in reverse, sir. It is funny, hypocritical, contradictory, stupid that somebody would be mad about the one and accept the others. But that goes both ways. It's funny that you would be fine with renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, but objected to the changing of the names of the forts and the streets and all of that. Pick a side. Be a name changer or a name keeper. I am a name keeper. It's the Cleveland Indians. It's the Washington Redskins. It's Fort Hood. And it is the Gulf of Mexico. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
America.
Stop it.
I-10
East. You don't really believe that.
America.
Go on.
All right. One accident on I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 7. It is off to the side of the road, but we're seeing some major delays on I-10. It's backed up all the way past 9 Mile Road through Highway 29. So just be aware of that. That's going to definitely be a 20-25 minute delay. So I'd plan in on alternate route. Also have one, let's see here, right here. We've got one on Lillian Highway and Trout Road. There's a car accident versus a telephone pole. Traffic is moving very slowly through that area, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives,
America. Thanks so much, John. Somebody says, libs are angry when they change the Gulf. This is in on the Facebook comments. Liberals, everybody who disagrees with me is a liberal. Come on. Liberals are angry. I almost read the actual. They're angry because they changed the name to. You can say that, but I don't like to. Liberals are angry because they changed the name of Gulf America, but we are expected to accept when they pretend to change their gender. No, oppose both. The problem runs both ways. Do you get upset when people fabricate new pronouns? You do. Okay, then stop embracing this ridiculous change. Like, pick a side. Stop doing it only when it's convenient to the viewpoint that you want to support. That's my argument. Be consistent. I think the amount to change it is a lot. And it's going to be a lot to change road signs all over everywhere. You know, that's going to be expensive. For what possible purpose? It's a distraction. I would like to buy it, though. That's not true. I don't want to spend. If at auction, what would it auction for? They're not going to auction it, by the way. They got to keep it for the next president in case, you know? So true. We don't have to pay another $2,600 to replace it if the next president says, yeah, undo. And when the next president says undo, what you should say is, oh, okay, the president's in charge. Good. Because that's what you're saying here, right? I mean, right? If you celebrate the undoing of, you know, Denali for Mount McKinley, which I do, if you celebrate the undoing of Fort Liberty for Fort, was it Bragg, I think, then you should be happy when the president undoes. If a future president undoes, then you should celebrate that, right? Well, no, I don't like that name. Pick a side on principle, man. Come over to me. Come to my side. It'll be okay. We can oppose name changes together. And then you can look reasonable because you can actually be criticizing a dumb move by all the Republicans who are falling over themselves to be the first most eager to prove that they're loyal to Trump.